You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, little girl told me down by the cold creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Pour in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Papa's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I
good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Jim Fortman. He is at backwaterfishingnaples.net. And Jim, it is a pleasure having you here. We are rolling into the 9 a.m. hour here on Real Talk Radio. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 239-337-3776. Shoot us a text, 239-337-3776. And we are talking about
soda, apparently.
Post-front. Yeah, I know.
Fishing,
all of a sudden,
I know.
The text line
right?
just lit up.
Well, it's a fishing show.
You know, I was going to say it's funny because, you know, we talk fishing and we get texts and questions, but then you start talking about things like mixing different kinds of soda and the text line just explodes. Oh, yeah, this is a topic I want to get on.
Yeah,
let me in on this
I mean,
one, but yeah,
extra
so,
pulp, pompano yeah. lover, Jabba the Butt, yes. all chiming in. Yes. And did, I don't know if you read Jabba the Butt's text. He's saying, for the hardcore kids, Jolt Cola and Moon Pies.
Oh, my God.
So if you're a parent, that is like that's your worst nightmare, is that your child is going to drink Jolt and eat a Moon Pie.
Yep.
Because that is like the ultimate sugar
yes.
rush.
I do
and
remember
your child's
going
to be literally climbing the walls.
Oh, yeah. Jolt Cola, yeah.
Jolt
they Cola
don't still was, make Jolt,
I think they had to take that off the market because there was a health risk that went along with that one.
Oh, geez.
There's like
that
way too much caffeine.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was just like a caffeine
it's like there was
bomb.
A warning yeah. label. This may cause yeah. a heart attack.
Do you guys remember when they made clear Pepsi?
Oh, yeah. Crystal Pepsi.
The worst idea they ever did.
That was so weird.
It was.
Talk about marketing gone bad.
Yeah.
I mean, how long was that on the market for? They sold that for maybe, like, was it? It wasn't even a year.
No, it wasn't around long.
No. It came and went.
Yeah, it came and went. They needed a something to go after Sprite, apparently, or 7-Up.
Yeah, I guess.
So.
No, but it still tasted
yeah.
like
it
cola.
Tasted the same. It just yeah. looked weird, and it felt weird, too. Yeah.
It definitely felt weird.
Here's one that's going to throw you back. You remember the candy Spree and talking about sodas, and you throw a Spree tablet into a 7-Up
yeah.
or a Sprite
totally
to give it a
that.
Little bit more kick.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and then remember Pop Rocks?
Yeah.
And people would always
right.
say, never eat Pop Rocks and then drink soda.
You're right, because it would yeah. explode in your stomach.
Yeah, you know what? I took that challenge.
And they and also there was
don't
one
do
about
this at home, kids.
Throwing Mentos in Coke.
Oh, really? Never heard that. Never
I
heard
remember that.
So
yeah.
like the mint Mentos or the fruity Mentos?
The mint Mentos.
The mint Mentos. Yeah. And you couldn't drink it anyway because
right.
it just started over fizzing.
It turned into a big fizz
bomb. It was like
bomb.
Some kind yeah. of yeah. chemical reaction.
All right, we better stop or we're going to the Texas is just
yeah, we're totally getting off the rails here.
So
okay.
What's going on in the world of fishing, guys?
They're
so,
biting.
So, Jim, we're going to talk about low tide fishing because we've got these extreme winter low tides that we start seeing. And a lot of times people think, oh, the fishing's going to suck. There's no water out there. What do you do? But as we mentioned earlier in the show, you're fishing a lot of those potholes. You're fishing the channels. And you get those extreme low tides when we get the hard northeast winds. And fish really hold up and gang up in those deeper depressions. And it gives you an opportunity to get out there and really sometimes catch some darn good numbers in those areas because the fish have nowhere else to go. So they stage in those deeper waters off the flats and they move up a lot of times as that sun starts to warm up. And particularly you're looking for a lot of cases, areas of dark bottom on those sunny days because you know those areas are going to start warming up first. So what are you doing in those extreme low tide situations where we see those really, really low winter lows, Jim?
All right. So the scenario goes, you know, my neck of the woods, the first, you know, if we get an extreme low tide first thing in the morning, be prepared that your trip may be delayed for a couple of minutes because you might not be able to make it out because there's not enough water.
Yeah,
and that actually happens quite a bit during the winter time. Yeah,
yeah. We got about 5 minutes, so just giving you a heads up.
All right, so the you know, what we call, you know, that time, you know, when that happens, it's called puddle jumping. You're literally hopping from one puddle to the next puddle. Anywhere you have a drop off where you're going to have moving water, those fish are going to be stacked up on. And in my area, you have a lot of mud flats. So that's what I'm looking for, is areas where there's deep water next to the mud flat, because especially in the morning, that mud flat's collecting heat. And as soon as that high tide comes in, those fish will move out onto those flats where that water's going to be a little bit warmer. So like I tell everybody, you know, that during the wintertime, you really do get to boat the best trips. And, you get to do a morning trip or an afternoon trip. They're going to be feeding all day long. Mm-hmm. Just certain species are going to be feeding more at one time of the tide versus the other end of the tide. So
now, have you seen, Jim, down in your area, obviously, because things up here, there's a lot of boat ramps that are still closed, a lot of the beaches are still closed. Have you seen a lot more people headed down to your area to fish from up this way lately, or not so much?
It's not as we're not seeing the traffic like we've seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But the traffic down south has picked up in the last couple of years. So now we're not seeing it as much. I will tell you, in a boater's perspective, you know, just kind of keep your distance from people. You know, if someone's fishing a spot, you know, try and stay at least 150 yards off of them if you're going to run by them. You know, like, it, you know, I had this happen over the weekend, and, you know, the needing and the urge to come about 50 yards from a boat while someone's fishing, I have no idea why someone would do that.
Especially down in your area,
because especially when you got the whole Gulf of Mexico on the other side of you, you just, and as just happened to be fishing with friends when that was going on, and even my buddy goes, "Well, I was pulling fish off of that little ledge there." You know, I'm like, "Yeah, it happens." Yeah, but that's, you know, just common boat etiquette, guys. Like, keep your distance. Yeah, you know, that's the best thing in my area. Like I tell everybody, when I have a good day out there, there's plenty of area to fish. That's one thing that is beautiful about my area. You got 20 square miles in the 10,000 Islands Preserve, and then you have the entire national park if you wanted to go get a park pass and go down south. And it's the same scenario all the way down. Cuts, flats, you know, be where there's moving water. And that's the one thing we do have a lot in our area, a lot of moving water in different areas.
And Jim, so as far as access to bait, like if people want to buy a shrimp down in your area, did you say it's still a little bit hit or miss?
Yeah, it's still a little iffy at my marina. I do know they're getting some bait down in Chokoleski. Mm-hmm. I know Naples bait is up and open. Serenity bait is open. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of the other bait shops that are kind of hit or miss. But, shrimp, just like, Dave was saying earlier, the shrimp boats have been hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of getting, you know, like, hey, we got some out of Tampa. Oh, yeah, we got some out of Miami, you know. So I've been basically keying in on a lot of artificial lures and different techniques. Like I said, when I leave here, I'm hoping to win
I'm
hoping to get that sportsman's, I got my phone right here. I'm going to be calling in and being like, all right, see if
go
I can
say
beat
hi
punch.
To Matt. He'll take good care of you.
Matt's great, and the guys do a great job down there.
They really do.
Yeah,
and if you don't see something, you can always ask him. In a lot of cases, Matt can order it, or he'll tell you if one of their other stores might have it. So here we got a text coming in from Run Through the Jungle, and he says, here's a $64 question. Always heard to find the bird's bait and the predator fish will be there. So why does everybody find the bait, cast net them, and then take them off to other places?
Well,
because they're using them to catch the predator fish.
You know, and this is something that we don't do in my area a lot. It's because there's always certain times of year where we have abundance of bait that we can actually pick them up and take them to another location and do what's called live chumming. It does come in handy when you can do it. I know. Up in, you know, the Estero Bay, Pine Island, Sanibel areas, Boca Grande, you know, in those areas, quite common to do that because you guys have a lot of bait. Same thing up in Tampa. But in my area, they kind of start off there. They're kind of small. So, you know, but you use them to kind of find out if there's something there. You want to get, you know, you want to get some activity going on this, because when there's activity, it draws in other predators. Now, always want to bring bait to where there's not bait. There's a reason why there's not bait there. because it's being chased out from something else that might be there. So, and it does make things easier to fish upon. I do know myself, I like to use artificials. I know Debbie likes to use artificials.
I love artificials.
You know, certain times of year, I love using a whole mullet. Mm-hmm. You know, that's because you're going to get into that big bites when they're feeding on something. The same thing, big ladyfish. I like using a big ladyfish. I'll drag it behind a boat. You know, you don't know where these big predators are going to be at. So you want to have that opportunity to have that bait, you know, available to, you know, be able to throw it up onto an area. Artificials are great for covering ground and covering it quick. You're going to find out.
Artificials are great to use as search baits if you're trying to figure out where the fish are holding, if you're doing some scouting, trying to put together patterns. So I just have to tell you, Jim, so Kim just texted in and she said, the Mentos and Coke is a fifth grade science experiment, and it's super cool to see the soda shoot in the air like a volcanic eruption. That's awesome, Kim. That's awesome. So, Rick, you know that it's 9:15, and we're going to be timely this morning. So,
wow, look at us go! All right,
let's do this.
I'm not even ready. Wait, here I am.
I know. I caught you with your mouth full.
Yeah.
I've grown tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless.
And now, from the world's most extraordinary book of useless information,
Ultimate.
Did I screw that up? Ultimate? Oh, man.
You said extraordinary, but it's ultimate. That's right.
I think that was the old Captain Rod.
We've been mixing up words all morning. Yeah, you know, impregnant, infused.
We'll cut you some slack.
It's Jim's fault for talking
Jim.
Me into eating this cheesecake.
Yeah, twisted your arm, didn't we?
Yeah. I said, I'm so full from breakfast. Let's just have one bite. And it's like, yeah, like I could stop after one bite. Okay, now from the world's ultimate book of useless information, here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen with useless information.
And this is the Oh Baby edition of Useless
Baby
Information.
Right.
And we are going to kick it off with the fact that 60% of babies are born before breakfast. How do you define before breakfast?
Right.
Because midnight could be before breakfast.
Yes, that's true.
8 p.m. the night before could be before breakfast. I don't know. Were you a morning baby?
I don't know about me, but I know my son was born at like 5 in the morning.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
My twins were born afternoon. They heard that there was pizza.
Yeah.
They were like on their way.
They
were like,
yeah, they knew about your wife's cooking probably before they were born. They couldn't wait to get out and start eating some of that.
And here is something to just fall on the tails of that. Only 25% of babies are actually born on the day predicted by the doctor or midwife.
Yeah,
I believe 75% of the time, those babies are not coming when somebody says they're supposed to come.
It's kind of like the weatherman lately.
Right, exactly. All right, number two, babies are born without kneecaps.
Oh.
Technically, they're born with cartilage in place of their kneecaps, but then the cartilage eventually hardens into the bony kneecaps that we have as adults.
Hmm.
So there you go. And then last but not least, according to experts, babies dream while they are in their mama's bellies.
Really?
I have heard that. What do you think
they dream about? Like, where's my bottle? When am I going to get a bottle?
That's right.
Like,
when am I getting out of here?
What's it really like
out
there?
It's dark in here.
Yeah. Maybe they can see way in the future.
Take me to the light.
Yes. Maybe they can see way into the future and go, you know what? Maybe I'll just hang here for a while.
Right. Oh, my goodness. See, Dopey says he was born at 1:07 a.m. in the morning. So
is that before
breakfast or is that a late night?
I think that could be before breakfast.
That's after happy hour. So, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, my. Okay. So now here is your opportunity to win a $50 gift card to Sportsman's Wholesale. Jim, put your phone down.
Yeah, Jim already
co-hosts are not eligible.
And he already mentioned he's going there right after the show. So
that's
why I need to, you know, I'm just going to save you the trip. You know, just
oh, yeah.
He's trying to butter
save
him
us
up.
The postage.
Uh-huh. So, FYI, the number, 239-337-3776, 239-337-ESPN. You do need to call in with the correct answer. You cannot text in with the correct answer. Right. You need to call in. So, this is Name That Species Trivia, brought to you by Sportsman's Wholesale, Southwest Florida's largest discount tackle shop, now with two locations in both Port Charlotte and Bonita Springs. Shop where the locals shop. This saltwater native species is prevalent throughout Florida waters, inshore, offshore, and nearshore, frequently found over grass beds and reefs. They are a schooling fish that migrates northward in spring, returning to southerly waters when water temperatures drop below 70 degrees. They spawn offshore from spring through summer. They have backs that are bluish green, fading to silvery sides and bellies. They have irregular golden yellow spots on their sides, bluish black blotch on the front of the first dorsal fin, and their lateral line slopes gently from behind the gill cover to the tail. Size up to 36 inches, feed on small fish and invertebrates. Many anglers identify the location of this species by trolling or watching for birds diving on schools of bait fish. Big clue right there. Which often indicates that these fish are forcing bait to the surface. Techniques include trolling or casting with small, shiny spoons or jigs. State record is 12 pounds caught near Fort Pierce. Name that species!
Name that species!
And we're going to head off to a break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and the ESPN Southwest Florida app. Stay tuned!
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Jim Fortman. And we are talking post-front fishing. We're talking about fishing those winter low tides. And talking about some of the species you can target in the coming months. And we just gave away a $50 gift card to Sportsman's Wholesale. The answer, of course, to name that species was Spanish mackerel.
Of course. I knew that, though. You know,
yeah,
I knew that.
Yeah, you knew it. You would have known if I would have read off a description of walleye.
Yeah.
And that would have been it.
Debbie has to come and give me notes every time and says, here's the answer. Now, Jim, I'm sure you knew that immediately.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, eh, well, she didn't say broken lateral line. It would have been a cerro.
So. Wow. So, Corey from Cape Coral. We actually had one wrong answer before. Somebody said spotted sea trout.
Yeah.
I said, no. But Corey got in and
Spanish mackerel.
Got the answer right.
Way
so
to go,
congratulations, Corey. Enjoy your $50 gift card. If you want to stop by and pick up Captain Jim Fortman on your way, he'll be done about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right.
Take him shopping.
What gift card?
The one we just gave away.
It was just here. I don't know where it went.
Congratulations to Corey. That's awesome stuff. So he can go and get himself some goodies at Sportsman's Wholesale. Good deal. I also, before I forget, I also wanted to mention that talking about the National Professional Anglers Association Conference that's going to be coming up in January, my good friend Captain Angie Scott of the Woman Angler and Adventurer podcast, she is also going to be holding a women's meetup at that particular conference so that all the ladies in the industry can get together. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a networking session. And then that Sunday, so January 8th, which is the Sunday of the conference, we're going to be doing a women's fishing meetup, and we're going to be teaming up with Gulf Coast Kayaks up out of Matt Lachey to do a kayak fishing trip. And that is going to be for any ladies here in Southwest Florida that might be interested in getting out there and meeting other female anglers and doing a little bit of kayak fishing in some of our inshore waters. So if you want more information on that, you can go ahead and find me. You can connect with me on Instagram. I'm at shefishes2, and that's the number 2. You can shoot me an email, and it's just Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, at shefishes, and that's the number 2. .com if you're interested, and I'll send you all the information on that women's kayak fishing meetup. And I also want to send a big shout out and thank you to our good friend Jerry Toporek. He sent me last week a big box, and I opened it after I left the studio, and he sent me some of his artwork. He sent me a beautiful card. And Jerry, you are just one of the most thoughtful people, and I know you've been going through a lot. He's one of our veterans through the Fish with a Hero and Project Healing Waters program, and he's always thinking about others. So Jerry, thank you so much for that gift and for thinking of us here in the studio, and thank you for your service, of course, as always. So, Jim, let's get back on the subject of talking about where some of the other species. I know we've talked about sea trout, we've talked about sheep's head, but let's talk a little bit about snook and redfish and where they go when they head into some of their winter haunts during some of the cooler months of the year. So I know a lot of times that cooler weather is going to push snook and other species up into the area creeks and rivers and residential canals. So speak a little bit to that in your area.
All right. So in my area, the snook, well, that one species actually goes in two different directions. You have a lot of the juvenile ones, and some of the bigger females will actually head way on up into the rivers, way up into the creeks, and just kind of get in, you know, like Lostman's River. That's another good, very good hangout for them. You can go way on up in there. But even along the 41 canal, the canal that's on the side of 41.
Yep.
They'll be in there along with juvenile tarpon, and don't be surprised if you see a redfish in there. They'll go in that other, you know, in that area. The other location is they'll go out into the Gulf, about anywhere from 15 to 20 miles off the coast.
Offshore.
And get up and around the offshore structures that we have out there. And they'll just lay up in an area where the water temperature is not going to change dramatically. And that's the thing that these fish are more concerned about is dramatic changes of water. They really do not like even a 5-degree difference, you know, overnight as far as it getting colder. So they'll head out and, you know, where the Gulf of Mexico.
That's a really great tip right there, Jim. Sometimes, don't you feel like sometimes, in many cases, when these fronts come through and the water temperature drops, if you can even find a few degrees of a temperature difference in terms of where the warmer water is going to be, in a lot of cases, you're finding the fish. From a freshwater perspective, that's certainly true with bass.
Or just an area where the water temperature didn't really change at all. You know, like a deeper area, the water temperature is going to stay
stable.
It's going to stay in a consistent. Mm-hmm. So surface water, you know, surface temperature would be, it's going to change fluctuations.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's kind of iffy when you go onto a flat, you know, right after a cold front came through. They might not be on that flat. They might be all hanging out in those deeper channels and ledges. So that's why I tell everybody, start at the ledge, see what you're seeing, and then push your way in.
Creek mouth or,
And the same thing on the outside, you know, if you're not finding them in the 8 to 10 foot areas, head out to the 15-foot areas, you know, this because that might be where the more stable water is. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes. Now, in the backcountry, you got all these holes back in these creeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is not uncommon to have a big old oyster bar, and on the other side of the oyster bar, a big old 10-foot hole, you know, where the water just rushed out during the rainy season. They create all these holes and whatnot, and that's where they'll get laid up in these little holes, and it's almost like easy pickings. So, and same thing again, moving water. They don't want to move moving around a lot. They want water just coming right into their face. And just like in the summertime.
Bringing those goodies on a conveyor belt right towards their mouth.
They're a creature of opportunity.
Yep.
They just like it coming right on towards them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that's one of the things, you know, we didn't really get to touch on the freshwater side earlier, but when we have those post-front conditions and we start seeing those bluebird skies from a freshwater perspective, I do the same types of things. I scale down my leader. I bring out the longer leaders. So a lot of times I'll even use a 3 or 4 foot fluorocarbon leader in those instances. And I scale it down because, frankly, as guides, you got to get out there and you got to get the bites. And I'd rather have a client even have the opportunity to land a fish. Sure, you might break a few off with lighter line, but I'll go down to sometimes 8 to 10 pound fluorocarbon. I've even gone down to 6 every once in a great while.
You need to get the bite. I mean, that's the big thing. If you're not getting the bite.
You want action. You know, most people just want to get out there. They want to catch fish. They want bent rods. And especially when you take the families out, the action is the important thing.
And that's the thing. Getting them involved and learning how to fish. I mean, it's because we both have clients that they'll come out and they're just learning how to do it. Some are ready and some are not ready, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, some of it's a learning curve. I mean, I had that happen this week. We got 2 fish to the boat. We had plenty of opportunity. But these fish, some of them can be rather large right now. And so just be ready for the, I got to work a little bit harder on my game. That's because, you know what? Even myself, I had to learn how to catch a snook. Everybody, you know, you get a fish that hits and then blows out about 50 yards of line in a second. You know, you're like, what do I do? You know, the biggest thing I tell every one of my clients on the way out, remain calm. So it's going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen. And, you know,
and
keep in mind that
everything's... You know, I don't know if you see this, but I see a lot of really like jerky, super jerky movements. Yeah. And it's always like, you got to just keep a nice bend in that rod, stay calm.
Well, we get the bass anglers that go trout fishing
in
my area, and it's a little bit too heavy aggressive or waiting a little too long. And like I tell my clients, and that's going back to the pro cure that I love using, it gives you about 3 more seconds to make that decision.
Yeah.
Don't wait for it. Usually that's as long as that fish is going to have that bait in its mouth, not like a largemouth where he'll slurp it in, basically hold on to it. Sea trout, when they hit, they're on the move. So you got to get on them quick, and you do need to make a steady hook set, not a master bass angler's hook set.
Right,
It's a, you know, we get that all the time in my area.
And, a lot of times in these post-front conditions on the freshwater side, you're going to get light bites. I mean, so I scale everything down. Some of my favorite post-front presentations, I use a lot of Roadrunner Marabou jigs. I use a lot of Ned rigs. I use small Sankos, so small soft plastics, because a lot of times those fish are closer to the bottom, and everything, I slow everything down, and that lighter line and having a sensitive rod too is also important, so that you can feel those light bites, detect those light bites in those situations. And
my favorite during the winter time going to bass was the Roadrunner this time of year. Roadrunner jigs.
The underspins?
The underspins. Yeah. And, you know, having a soft body plastic tail.
Yep.
Those little lures, they would catch everything.
Oh, I love those. Those are awesome too. Like bass. the Roadrunner Swimming Runner is one of my favorites, but I actually use that one that's got the willow leaf blade and then the swim bait body, and it's got flash and vibration. So if we have windy days and it really churns up that water, that bait is killer because it's got the flash, it's got the vibration from the swim bait body, and you can actually put ProCure or scent on it because of that swim bait, soft plastic swim bait body will hold that scent.
I'm going to tell her one of your tricks. It's don't be afraid to put a minnow on it.
Stop! I don't do that.
Yeah.
No, not with the swim and runner. No way.
No, that's a big trick out there in Lake Trafford. If anybody's
They do shrimp. They do minnow tip jigs for crappie. Yeah, but I use the swim and runner, which is the larger underspin that Roadrunner Lures has. I use that for bass, and I use it for even peacock bass. We'll hit that. And FYI, it's also a great. They have a saltwater version of it that is awesome for redfish.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to look into that one.
I think it's called the Salt Runner, and instead of having a silver willow leaf blade, it's got a gold willow leaf blade.
I would say the bigger blade, the better. But it, you know, I've tried using those. The hook is not good enough. And for taking them out for saltwater application, but now you're saying there's a saltwater.
There is a saltwater version.
So I wonder if they changed that hookup, because I do know that the little ones.
I'm sure
work.
They did.
So
yeah, but, no, the little Roadrunner Marabou jigs and the curly tails are some great. People think, oh, small baits just for panfish, but between those little Roadrunners and then also Z-Man just put out those new micro finesse baits. And I am here to tell you that the past week before the week before the full moon, the peacock bass were tearing those things up. There's one called the Stinger Z, and it's a little, it looks like a cross between, it really looks like some kind of a freshwater invertebrate. It's about an inch and a half to an inch and three quarters. And I was using the pearl color on about a 1/15th to a 1/10th ounce jig head. And we were crushing them on that little thing. And I know where that thing is going to produce is going to be in the Everglades Canal systems this winter and spring, because all those fish are keyed in on are those really small,
real small
little presentations, and that thing is going to just tear up the numbers in there. So I cannot wait to get out there and try that.
I tell this to my clients all the time: elephants eat peanuts. You know,
especially in those post front conditions.
Yeah, you do not know what's going to eat a 3-inch paddle tail, or you know, a Rapala or a twitching bait. You know, you don't know what's going to eat it. You don't know what's going to eat a 2-inch shrimp down in my area.
And that's just the thing. You know, when you're going out there and you know somebody's like, well, I want to go trophy fishing. I mean, generally, that's not the kind of trips we run, because not to say you're not going to get a big fish, but that's not the goal. The goal is you're getting out there so that people are catching fish and they're experiencing action and just having an absolute blast while they're doing it.
In my area, it's fishing. You don't know what's going to happen. You're going out, you're targeting specific fish. You know, February is a good month that you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you could hook up with, like we had last year, a 42-inch permit. You know, you don't know what's going to happen while you're trout fishing. It's not uncommon to hook up with a 150-pound tarpon when you're trout fishing. And that actually goes throughout the year. I mean, like this year, if the conditions stay in a relatively warm, we might be seeing tarpon all the way through January. I mean, we saw them last year and into the first week of January.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Yeah, it's
we'll see. All right, we got to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Jim Fortman, rolling into the final 10 minutes of Real Talk Radio. Text line still open, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Rick, hey, I could tell you got something on your mind
there, I sure do. You guys were talking just before we went to break about not judging the size of things that eat the size of other things.
Yeah.
Did you see the crazy story about the 18-foot python that was found that had a 5-foot alligator inside of it that it had eaten?
I've heard stories like this, but is this a new one? Like, this just happened again lately?
Yeah. Last week, and it was found near Naples.
Yeah.
And it happens.
An 18th? It's not the first. Oh, my God.
Actually, I think it's like the third or fourth time I've heard about that. The elephants eat peanuts.
Well, there, yeah, that's true. There was even a little video that was out of when they found it and them like cutting it open and the alligator inside, undigested, of course. And
it would have been digested eventually.
Well, so. Right. They caught the.
They
snake,
do have a thick skin to them.
Crazy.
So.
But, yeah. Well, be careful if you're walking around down in Naples.
Yeah. Anybody ever seen
where they caught the big? So remember the largest python that they caught? I think it was before even the Python Challenge when they found this big, huge female and she had, I want to say, like 150 eggs inside of her.
Well,
do you remember that when they found that one? It was in the Picayune Strand, which is that's close to Naples. That's in Naples. That's
it actually
County.
Technically is, but I remember the one that they got out by Gateway. They had a big one out there. It was about probably 8-9 years ago, where they're not sure if it was someone's pet or not, but there was a very large one that they found. It was actually crossing one of the roads. It's, I mean, that's usually how you find them. And it usually does happen right after a cold front, by the way. Just keeping on the cold front.
Yeah, because they're looking crawl up on that warm pavement to warm themselves up.
So if you're on 41 at night and you feel like you hit a speed bump.
Probably wasn't a speed bump.
It probably wasn't a speed bump. It might have been a python.
Right. See, and even Kneecap agrees. He says he caught the largest bass of his life on an ultralight crankbait. It was a 9.5-pounder.
Yep.
That's some cool stuff right there.
And going back to our comment, you know, with clients, when you go fishing, you never know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to bite the line. You know, us being guides, we're going to try and get you to the biggest spot and give you the best opportunity.
Guides, plural, not God. Yes.
You know, and we're going to try and give you the best opportunity that, you know, we can get to our clients. I mean, it's all we can do. And then hopefully, you know, we're going to bring you, you know, get that fish to come in and play him in. The big fish in my area, especially, like I said, it just happens. You know, it's, you don't know what's going to happen at any given moment, but when it does happen, you know, like I tell every one of my clients, be ready, remain calm, stay on it. You know, don't give them an inch. They'll take a mile. So,
Yep. And that's just it. You know, the fact is, especially when you're fishing throughout the winter and in these months when you've got these fronts that are coming through, you know, it's about just getting out there. And every day you get out there, you learn something new. And that's the best thing about this sport overall, is the fact that just when you think you've got something figured out, you learn that you don't, and then you've got to go back and sort of recalibrate. But that's also the awesome part about it, because I know Alberto and I have had this conversation so many times here in the studio about the fact that that's part of it. It's part of it. And these days with social media, everybody is posting their highlight reels of these big fish. But the reality is, everybody's not going out every day catching a monster trophy fish.
Well, you know.
Even Alberto, who posts trophy fish more than everyone else, will tell you that that's not the case.
There is a science to it. You know the area, the surrounding areas and the bottoms. You know which way the current's going to be going.
There's things that you do to increase your chances of that happening. And in a lot of cases, you know, in some cases,
sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not.
You are fortunate. And it's always about preparation, meeting opportunity.
Time and a place. I tell everybody, there's a time and a place. And we just got to find that time and that place.
I'm getting all choked up talking about fishing here this morning.
That's all right. We're going to go back onto a weird story. That's because we were talking about the python that ate the alligator. A couple of years ago, did you guys see the picture of the Goliath grouper trying to eat the shark?
No.
that happened just south of Chokoloskee. So,
where did you see that picture?
That was, I think it was on one of the Florida Sportsman sites, you know, where they had a picture of it. Neither one of them made it. The Goliath grouper was eating the shark, and the shark was eating the Goliath. So it was, it just didn't work out.
No, it was crazy. So I saw some video footage from New Zealand this past week that was circulating around the internet, and it was a Mako shark that literally, it was a charter boat offshore fishing offshore New Zealand. One of the anglers hooks up to a Mako. The Mako shoots out of the water, lands on the windshield of the boat, and is like huge shark thrashing around on the front of this boat. It was crazy.
That actually happens a lot with Makos. I mean, I've seen many of videos where they jump into the back of the boat when they're fighting it. That's because these fish do jump. I know growing up on the East Coast was because we had Makos over there. And you're always kind of worried if you did hook one because you don't know which way it's going to go and it's going to be jumping. I've heard about them jumping over the back ends of boats. So, and then of course jumping into the boat, I know I saw one, I think it was out of the Keys, and they had one that literally came right in to the back end where everybody was standing and everybody was jumping out. they were like sharks in the boat. Everybody else was out of the boat except for the captain that was up in the tower.
Yeah. And then they better hope that there's no more sharks out of the boat in the water where the shark just came from.
You know, I don't know. Would you rather be in the boat with the shark or in the water with the, you know, where you can get
with
away from
more sharks?
Yeah, I don't know. So,
yeah, well, and we know tarpon do that too. I mean, how many times does that happen up in Boca Grande when people are fighting? There's so many boats packed into a really, really narrow pass, everyone's fighting fish, and
I've had a lot
insanity.
Of close calls that down south. It's because the shallower the water, the more they're going to jump. I actually had one that landed maybe 3 inches from my engine one day. And I was getting ready to grab people and push them off to the side.
When you were fishing down in the 10,000 Islands?
Yeah. We have some larger ones that come in the beginning of spring. Mm-hmm. They can be upwards to 150 pounds. This one happened to be around 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. And when it came up and it actually charged the boat, and what they'll do is they'll charge the boat and pass it. And the fish came out of the water, and we got such a really good look at it because it was literally could have reached out and touched it. It was that close, and it just missed the boat. It hit the water.
Well, you're talking tarpon now, not tarpon. Sharks. Yeah, but a lot of times they hang in the same areas.
Yeah, they do. So. They do. There's some big sharks in our area too.
All right. Well, on that note, it's that time again. We got to go. Thank you, Rick Church, the director of this show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Thank you, Jim, for being here this morning and feeding Rick.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure, guys.
Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday. Same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
It's been a lovely cruise. I'm sorry it's ended. Oh, it's sad, but it's true, honey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.